Let's drink and be merry. What comes to your mind when I say that statement? My guess is that most of you are thinking of alcoholic beverages, perhaps at a bar or a party. Sadly, that's a good summary of what that verb, drink, is often relegated to in our society today. Perhaps another way of using the same wording in a more modern phrase is, let's get our drink on. Say that to anybody these days, and they're most likely going to think that you're into partying and extravagance. But let us broaden our horizons a bit. Let us gain new understanding about that verb drink from a passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He writes, "All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." In this section, Paul isn't talking about indulging in alcohol or hopping from bar to bar. Rather, he's warning the Corinthians about the dangers of idolatry. He goes on to state that one cannot drink of the cup of Christ and the cup of demons. Surely this is an important thing to point out in our lives. But what does it mean to drink Christ? We read the words of Jesus in John chapter 4. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." These are the words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman. "Drink of the water that I will give you, and you will never thirst." In my personal opinion, one of the greatest feelings is drinking cold water when you are really thirsty. It's really satisfying. It's been about 10 years since I was in grade school, but I still have a few memories from that time. One such memory is sitting in my desk after recess on a warm autumn afternoon and seemingly dying of thirst. But whenever this occasion arose, I could venture out into the hallway and satisfy my need for water at the drinking fountain. It makes one wonder what my grade school experience was like if that was one of my most vivid memories. But that's beside the point. Just as easily as I was able to quench my thirst as a grade schooler, so likewise do we have access to Christ and His water in His Word. For the Samaritan woman, that message came from Jesus Himself. It was a face-to-face conversation. For us, it comes to us in His Word. Even though we can't see Jesus with our eyes, we have the same proclamation of that message. And the power of that message is as strong as what a one-on-one conversation would be with the Lord Himself. We trust in the Word of God and the power that it conveys because it is the truth. Because it flows directly from God Himself. Jesus testified to this point a few chapters after this conversation He had. He said, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Maybe some of you have heard about the recent cholera outbreak in the country of Haiti. A couple of weeks ago, this deadly disease was introduced into their water supply. And within days of its inception, many people had already died from it. I watched a news team on TV who traveled down there to test the water for these people to see if it was suitable for drinking. After several examinations, each of the tested areas was deemed unfit and dangerous for consumption. The news team was clear in their message to the citizens, "Do not drink the water." No one would argue that it would be foolish at best to drink untested water, let alone water infected with a deadly disease. None of the news members told the people, "Well, your water has cholera in it, but it still should be okay to drink." What would be even more shocking is if they had an ample supply of fresh water and instead suggested that the people drink the infected water. Now, obviously, that illustration seems apparent to us and probably to anybody who hears it. But so often, many people have done this very thing. Many have infected the pure truth of God's Word with their own sinful emotions and desires. Many have said, well, this is what the Word of God tells me, but this can't be possibly what it means. This can't be what God wants me to know. How about this? How about we change the wording a little bit, throw an idea here, introduce an idea there. That's got to be what God wants us to know. And just like that, just that simple, the truth is compromised and disease is introduced into the water supply. You see, Christ has given Himself freely to us to drink in His Word. If that Word becomes contaminated or if disease is introduced, we only have ourselves to blame. We return to Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman, one of His closing statements. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Do you see the cycle which God has laid out for us? We drink from the spiritual rock of Christ, who supplies us with life-giving waters to quench any thirst. These waters come to us in the Word of God, which is our source of truth. And we in turn worship God in spirit and truth, and thereby hear about that spiritual rock of Christ who supplies us with life-giving waters. Those waters come to us in the Word of God, which is our source of truth, and we in turn worship God in spirit and truth. When we lose one part of this cycle, it collapses completely. If we take Christ out of the picture, then we lose the power behind it all. We lose the seal of satisfaction on that water of life that He has given us in His death and resurrection. We lose the free gift of eternal life that He gives. If we lose the truth of the Word of God, then we are left with our sin-stained emotions, and we are surrounded by our guilts and fears. We grope in the dark for any reason-satisfying snare that Satan throws at us. The Word is our defense against contamination. And if we fail to worship God in spirit and truth, then we are no better than a selfish hypocrite who cares only for his or her own desires. When we worship the Lord properly, it not only fills our souls with that fresh water to quench our thirsts, but it gives us a humble attitude of thanks and praise to the Lord for giving us such amazing gifts. And so let us appreciate the many opportunities that we have to quench our thirst. Whether it be these 10 minutes at morning or evening chapel every day, our numerous Bible classes throughout the week, the blessed opportunity we have to worship with like-minded Christians every weekend, or our personal meditation of God's Word when we are on our own. Remember that wherever the Word of God is taught in truth, there is no problem of thirst that you may have which cannot be satisfied. So let us always drink and be joyful in the Lord and His Word. Amen. We close with hymn 261, verses 2 and 3.